Okay, thank you. So as Björn has already mentioned, my name is Stavros Petridis and I'm a PhD student at Imperial College. So I'm going to talk about audiovisual classification of vocal outbursts. This is a joint work with the University of Munich, Florian Eben and Björn Schuller, and our group at Imperial, which also includes George Zimiropoulos, Stefano Zafiriou and Maya Pandits. Okay. So what are vocal outbursts? They are brief, non-linguistic vocalizations, which may involve facial expressions as well. Examples include laughter, which is probably the most common, coughing, breathing, but there are also many different types of vocalizations. We may not realize it, but these vocalizations play an important role in spontaneous conversations. For example, it has been shown that laughter punctuates speech. What does this mean? It's that we tend to laugh at places where punctuation would be placed. Another example is when in a conversation, when the two participants laugh simultaneously, then it is very likely that this indicates this is the end of the topic they discuss, and it's very likely that a new topic will start. Apart from laughter, which is probably the most widely studied vocalization, most of the other vocalizations are used as a feedback mechanism during interaction. And as I said before, they are very common, although we don't realize it in real conversations. There have been several works on laughter recognition and classification from audio only. There are also a few works on audiovisual classification of laughter, but works on recognizing or discriminating between different vocalizations are limited compared to laughter, and one of the main reasons is the lack of data. So what was our goal in this work? We would like to discriminate between different vocalizations, since we're lucky to have a data set that contains such vocalizations, but using not only audio features, but also visual features. And the idea here is that since most of the time there is a facial expression involved in the production of the vocalization, maybe this information can be captured by the visual features, so it can improve the performance when it is added to the audio information. So the database we used was the audiovisual interest corpus from TUM, which basically contains 21 subjects, and there are 3,901 turns, and basically it's a dyadic interaction scenario. So basically there is a presenter and a subject who interact, and during the interaction there are several vocalizations. This we use basically the partitioning we used. Actually, it has been used. This data set has also been used in the inter-speech paralinguistic challenge, and we use the same partitioning for training, development, and testing. Although, unfortunately, in this slide, the development column is missing. And there are four non-linguistic vocalizations. Actually, there are four that have been labeled. Yes, breathing, consent, hesitation, and laughter. And there is also another class. We introduced another class, garbage, which contains other noises and speech. And for the experiments I'm going to show you, we have excluded the breath class because most of the time the audio is not audible, and usually there is no. At least in this data set, most of the time there isn't a facial expression involved. Okay, it seems it doesn't work this one. So just to show you a few examples, I think it's this one. Okay, so this is an example of laughter from the database. So basically you see there is also, although there is a camera pointed directly at the face of the subject, you see there is still a significant head movement, which is quite common in interaction, whereas, for example, we have built a database that subjects watch a funny video clip and we record the reaction, and in this case, because it's just static, I mean, they just watch something, the head movements are very small. Whereas in this case, and also in all real cases, the head movement is always there. And okay, so let me show you an example of, I think the next one is hesitation. So basically it's pretty short, but... And And an example of consent, it's this one. No. So basically in this one, you, there was no facial expression, just some head movement. Okay, so I can go back to the presentation. Okay, so we use these pre-segmented vocalizations in order to do classification of the into five classes. The four, vocalizations and garbage. So we extracted. Okay, this is just an overview. I will explain each of these in the following slides. We extracted audio and visual features, which were the visual features were upsampled to match the frame rate of the audio features, and then were concatenated for feature level fusion. And then classification was performed with two different approaches. One was the SVM, and the other one was a long short-term memory recurrent neural network. So the frame rate for visual features is 25 frames per second, which is the common frame rate. And we use two types of features: shape features, which are based on a point distribution model, and appearance features, which are based on PCA on gradient orientations. So in the beginning, we track 20 points on the face. These are the 4 points around the mouth, 1 point for the chin, 4 points on each eye, 2 for each eyebrow. And you can see this is an example of a subject laughing with the tracking points on his face. And as you may see, tracking, for example, it's not always perfect. And that happens. I mean, unfortunately, there isn't a perfect tracker. So we initialize the points, and then the tracker tracks these 20 points. And now the main problem we have, and actually this is present for both shape and appearance features, is that we want to decouple head pose from facial expressions. Now, how we do this is basically we use this point distribution model. Each point has two coordinates, x and y. So if we concatenate all the coordinates, we end up with a 40-dimensional vector for each frame. If we concatenate now these four vectors from all frames into a matrix, if we have k frames, we'll end up with a k by 40 matrix. And then we apply PCA on this matrix. Okay, it is well known that the greatest variance of the data lies on the first principal components. And the assumption is that since there are significant head movements, most of the variance will be captured in the first principal components, whereas facial expressions, which account for smaller variance, will be encoded in a lower components. So in this case, we found that the first four principal components correspond to head movements, and the remaining from 5 to 10 to facial expressions. But basically, this is it depends on the data sets. On other data sets with even higher, with stronger head movements, you can see that even the first five or first six correspond to head movements. So basically, the features are very simple. It's just the projection of the coordinates, of the 40 coordinates, to these principal components that correspond to facial expressions. And I can show you an example. Okay, so basically, let me see. Okay, so this is not from this database, but just to get an idea how this principle works, it's on the top left, you see the video stream. On the top right, you see the actually tracked points. On the bottom left, you see the reconstruction based on the principal components that correspond to head movements. And the bottom right, you see the reconstruction that corresponds to the principal components of the facial expressions. And you can see that as she turns her head, the bottom right remains always frontal and follows the expressions, whereas the bottom left follows the head pose. It's very simple, but just get the idea. And Okay. Okay. We have the same problem also for appearance features. We want to remove head pose. And in this case, it's harder. So what we did, just the common approach in computer vision, we use a reference frame, which is contains a neutral expression of the subject, and also it's in frontal view, and we compute the affine transformation between each frame and the reference frame. And when with affine transformation, we mean basically we scale, rotate, and translate the face so that it comes to a frontal pose. And you can see a very simple example at the bottom. You see on the left, the head it's a bit rotated. And after applying scaling, translation, and rotation, you see that the face becomes frontal. And then we crop the area around the face. And then we apply PCA to image gradient orientations. I will not go into details in this one because you can find more information on this paper. But the main idea is that it's quite common to apply PCA directly on pixel intensities. However, with this approach, as you can see in the discussion of this paper, it has some advantages. For example, it's more robust to illumination, and so that's why we decided to use this one. Now, regarding audio features, these were computed with OpenSmile, which is a toolkit provided by TUM. The frame rate is 100 frames per second, and that's why we need to upsample the visual features, which are extracted at 25 frames per second. We use some standard audio features, like the PLP coefficients, the first five PLP coefficients, energy, loudness, fundamental frequency and probability of voicing, augmented with the first and second order delta coefficients. I think these are pretty standard features. And now for classification, the first approach was to use long short-term memory recurrent neural networks, which basically, I mean, Felix described them, so I guess I can skip this slide. It's and this is for dynamic classification. Now for static, the main problem is that each utterance has a different length. So in order to extract features which do not depend on the length of the utterance, we simply extract some statistics over the entire utterance of these low-level features. So just, for example, the mean of the feature over the entire utterance, or the maximum value, the range. So we convert an utterance, so the utterance is represented by a feature vector of fixed size. And then classification is performed for the entire utterance using support vector machines. And here you can see just an overview. We have the shape features, the appearance features, PLP, energy, F0, loudness, and probability of voicing. In one case, in the static case, we compute the statistics over the entire utterance, we feed them to an SVM, and we get a label for the sequence. Whereas in the second case, when we use the LSTMs, LSTM networks, we simply give the low-level features, we don't need to compute functionals, to the LSTM networks, which provide a label for each frame, and then we can simply take the majority and label the sequence accordingly. So now, results. As you can see, for the weighted average, SVMs provide better performance. Whereas for unweighted average, LSTMs lead to better performance. So this means that SVMs are good at classifying the largest class, which in this case is hesitation, contains more than 1,000 examples. And they are not so good at recognizing the other classes, whereas LSTMs are good at recognizing, they are better at recognizing all classes. So you see that's why you have usually much higher unweighted average values. Something also which is also interesting is that to compare the performance of audio with the audiovisual approach. In the case of audio, for example here, you see that it's 64.6%. Now, when we add appearance, basically it goes down. This may sound a bit surprising, because especially for audiovisual speech recognition, appearance is considered the state of the art. But there are two reasons. First of all, we use information from the entire face. So basically, there's a lot of redundant information, which may possible to degrade the performance. And the second reason is since, as I showed you before, there is significant head movement, although we do this registration step to convert all expressions to a frontal pose, still this is not perfect, and especially when there are out-of-plane rotations, which means the subject is not looking at the camera but is looking somewhere else, then with this approach it's impossible to reconstruct the frontal view. And it is known that usually appearance features are much more sensitive to registration errors than shape features. It's so this could be, let's say, a reasonable explanation of bad performance when adding appearance. Whereas when we add shape information, we see there is a significant gain from 64.6 to 72%. And now if we look at the confusion matrix to see which class is the result per class, we see that on the left is the result when using audio information only, and on the right is when using audio plus shape, and this is for the LSTM networks. So we see that for consent and laughter, there is a significant improvement from 47 to 66 and from 63 to 79, whereas for hesitation, the performance goes down, so basically when we add this extra visual information. So this is a summary. So we saw that shape features improve performance for consent and laughter, whereas appearance features do not seem to do so. I mean, it's only appearance features seem to help only in the case of support vector machines. And still, okay, this is a negligible improvement from 59.1 to 59.4, whereas when we combine all the features together, then there is a small improvement. So this is the only case that appearance features help. Comparing now these LSTM networks with SVMs, we saw that LSTMs basically do a better job at recognizing the different vocalizations, and whereas SVMs mostly recognize the class with the largest class, which is hesitation. And now for future work, okay, it's as Felix said, in all the experiments, we have used pre-segmented sequences, which means we know the start, the end, we extract the sequence, and we do classification. Now, a much harder problem is to do spotting of this non-linguistic vocalization, which means we have a continuous stream, and we don't know the beginning and the end. Actually, that's our goal, which especially when adding visual information, which this could be a challenging task because there are cases that the face may not be visible. So in this case, it's likely that we have to turn off, for example, the visual system. And I think this is it. So we can have a look. These are our websites from at the Imperial College and University of Munich. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Thomas. So we still have time for a couple of questions. Anton.
As far as I can see, but you can correct me, the illumination was pretty much okay. So I'm just wondering, when you go over to more realistic recordings, illumination, that means light condition, will deteriorate. What do you expect, that you get the same amount of improvement for consent and laughter or not, or have you done any experiments?
Well, in this case, usually appearance features are definitely influenced by illumination and they are sensitive to illumination. Now, shape features, the question is if this difference in illumination can affect the tracker. If the tracker works, it's fine, but if the tracker fails due to illumination, then okay, it's it can use, even shape features cannot provide any useful information because the points will be tracked wrongly. But this is an open problem. It has not been solved, and yeah, I guess as you know, computer vision is still beyond audio processing, and these are all problems that nobody knows the answer. And that's why in most applications you see in computer vision, basically, for example, in audiovisual speech recognition, it's a subject looking directly at the camera. and it's always a frontal view of the face. Quite recently, there have been some approaches trying to apply these methods in more realistic scenarios, but to apply it in cases like you said, in a real environment, at least I don't know any approach that would work well at the moment. So.
Other questions? Yes, Felix.
So did you use upsampling for the SVM training? Because you said that the SVM just optimizes on the majority class.
Basically, yeah, all the features were upsampled both for both cases. So we have the same frame rate. Although for SVMs, it may not be necessary since we extract these functionals.
Yeah, actually, I'm talking about instance upsampling.
Instance upsampling, no.
Okay.
So only feature up, feature upsampling.
Okay.
Other questions? Yes. Engine.
Okay, you showed a couple of demos, but what I wonder, are there any inter-class variances actually in this class definitions, for example, when you consider the visual features, for example, for hesitation actually? I mean, that there could be more than one facial expressions which can describe actually hesitation. And also, that variability actually between training and testing, how is it? Is it inclusive?
There is variance. I mean, okay, I just showed you one example, but if you look at all examples, you will see that there is also sometimes there is also a big difference. And sometimes, if you only look at the video without listening to audio, it is very likely that even humans would be confused between different vocalizations, especially between hesitation and consent. So yeah, there is variance, and particularly for laughter, there are, I think there are 300 examples of laughter, and there are, okay, it's the variance is high. It's now as regarding the training and test set, I think this is the official partitioning. I don't know, maybe Björn can say more. What was the criteria for deciding training and testing? It's
well, actually, as you said, that was done for the challenge, and that was done to be very transparent. Similar as for the Buckeye corpus done by a speaker ID. So.
Okay, so yeah, but basically there is variance. And as I said before, sometimes even if you turn off the audio, you cannot discriminate between those two.
Okay, thank you.
Covariance between different features.
That wasn't my main intention, but yes, you are right, actually. I mean, that's also another issue.
So, what's the question about covariance between...
I interpreted this question as if there was covariance between, for example, that could explain, for example, that you didn't get much improvement for hesitations because the covariance was so high between the combination features, something like that.
It could be. I don't know. I mean, it's some expressions are similar from in different between different classes. They are different. It's. Yeah, to be honest, I'm not sure. I mean, it's basically because these are spontaneous expressions, and they are also different. I mean, if you look at all of them, you will not find two that are exactly the same. It's, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions? Okay, so thank you again, Savos.